your power fall. Let your voice be heard. Come and change our hearts as we stand on your word. Spirit, rain down. Oh, Holy Spirit, once more, just invite His presence. Holy Spirit, rain down. Won't you rain down? Our comforter and friend. Oh Lord, we need your touch again. Holy Spirit, change our hearts as we stand on your word. Spirit, rain down.
Amen. Anything's possible when He's here. Amen.
This world, it's not my home. Oh, I'm just a passing. Somewhere beyond the blue, the angels beckon me from heaven's open door. Oh, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then they're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know. Well, I fixed it up with Jesus many years ago. I know He'll see me through, though I am weak and poor. Oh, I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what would I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. Oh, I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Just over in the glory land, we'll live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. The songs of sweetest praise drift back from heaven's shore. Oh, I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what would I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. Oh, I can't feel at home. This world, it's not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. Oh, I can't in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what would I do? Just over in the glory land, we'll live eternally. The saints on every hand, they're shouting victory. The songs of sweetest praise drift back from heaven's shore. Oh, I can't live in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, you know, Lord, I have no friend like you. Shake somebody's hand tonight. Welcome them to the service.
You thankful that this isn't our home? Amen. Amen. Yet we're going to live on the earth, but not in Satan's Eden.
Amen.
Amen. This ain't my home. Not the way it is now with all the filth and the sin and the sickness and things. No, this isn't my home. We're just pilgrims and strangers traveling through. Amen. God bless you. We want to continue to remember the requests we had this morning. Brother John Leake with the broken arm and his wife that's going to have the tonsil surgery, and Brother Randy Evans' mother-in-law waiting for the chest x-rays to come back, and the ones diagnosed with cancer and different things. We've got a couple of other unspoken prayer requests that we want to bring before the Lord tonight. Want to please pray for James Renton, and also please pray for Joseph Sargent. Want to remember them in prayer tonight. How many of you have an unspoken prayer request that you'd like to make known by the uplifting of your hand? Amen. Oh, the Lord sees each one. Brother Jimmy, would you just come tonight and lead us in a word of prayer over these requests?
Father, we approach you once again, Lord, with our petitions, and we make our requests known to you, Lord. Lord, we have nowhere else to go. Lord, there's no one greater, no one more able to take care of these things in which we've asked, Lord. You know each and every heart, each and every hand that was raised, and what the need was. Father, you paid for it on Calvary. Father, we stand here today, Lord, just united together under your presence, Lord, to ask what we have need of, Lord, knowing that you'll meet that need, Lord. And Father, we place it in your able hands here tonight, Lord. We place this service in your hands.
Yes, sir.
Lord, we ask you to just have your way. Have preeminence over the service, Lord. And we'll give you the praise and honor as we leave this place, Lord. And let us go out better than we came in Jesus' name.
God bless you. You may be seated. This is 243 in your hymn book.
We read of a place that's called heaven. It's made
must be.
the Lord brought you out tonight. We have lots to be thankful for. Amen.
Well, I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. Oh, I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. Oh, if it had not been for Jesus, where would I be? Oh, I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. Oh, I've been happy since the Lord brought me out. Oh, I've been happy since the Lord brought me out. Oh, if it had not been for Jesus, where would I be? I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. Oh, aren't you glad that the Lord brought you out? Oh, aren't you glad that the Lord brought you out? Oh, if it had not been for Jesus, where would I be? Oh, I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. Oh, I've been singing since the Lord brought me out. Oh, I've been singing since the Lord brought me out. Oh, if it had not been for Jesus, where would I be? Glad that the Lord brought me out. Oh, I've been happy since the Lord brought me out. Oh, I've been happy since the Lord brought me out. Oh, if it had not been for Jesus, where would I be? Oh, I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. Oh, I've been singing since the Lord brought me out. Oh, I've been singing since the Lord brought me out. Oh, if it had not been for Jesus, where would I be? Oh, I'm so glad that the Lord brought me. Why don't we stand this evening? Oh, I'm so glad that the Lord, He brought me out. Oh, I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. Oh, if it had not been for Jesus, where would I be? Oh, I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. Oh, I've been shouting since the Lord brought me out. Oh, I've been shouting since the Lord brought me out. Oh, if it had not been for Jesus, where would I be? Oh, I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. Oh, I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. So glad that the Lord brought me out. Oh, if it had not been for Jesus, where would I be? Oh, I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. Oh, I'll stand for Jesus and let the world go by. Well, I'll claim His promise, He will supply. Oh, we'll walk together, my Lord and I. Well, I'll stand for Jesus.
singing again together, I'll stand for Jesus. Oh yes, Lord, I'll claim His promise. He said He would supply. We're gonna walk together, my Lord and I. Oh, I'll stand for Jesus. Let the world go by. Oh, and walk with me, Lord. Just walk with me. Walk with me, Lord. Walk with me. Oh, and while I'm on this pilgrim journey, oh, I need you, Jesus, to walk with me. Oh, don't certainly need Him tonight. Amen. God bless you. Turn with me, if you would, tonight to St. John's Gospel. St. John chapter 10 and verse 27. I want to just read one verse here tonight to begin with. St. John's Gospel chapter 10 and verse 27. My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me.
Amen.
Amen. We want to look tonight with the help of the Lord on this thought of sheep's food. Amen. Let's just bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just ask that You'd be with us tonight. Lord, as we just sang, Lord, we don't just want You to walk with us, Lord, but we want You to be our friend. We want You to be our guide. We want You to be our help, Lord. And Lord, we ask You many times, Lord, don't leave us alone. Lord, I've thought many times up here in the pulpit, don't leave me alone, Father. Don't ever let Your anointing leave me. But, Father, may You anoint and lead and guide, Lord. And Lord, that shouldn't just be for the minister or the ministry, Lord, but it should be for every individual, the bride of Jesus Christ, Lord. Our desire is that You would lead us and guide us and anoint us. Don't leave us alone, Father. Don't leave us alone down here in Laodicea, but, Lord, walk with us. Show us Your ways, teach us and lead us and guide us, Father, we pray. Lord, be with this service tonight. I commit it into your hands. Be with me and anoint me to say what you would have me to say, Father. Lord, you know all about it, Father. I just ask you to be with us this evening. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The church said,
amen.
Amen. God bless you. You can be seated.
Thank you, brother.
I would like to add a little disclaimer before we start into this service tonight. I've tried to get out of this every way I can. I've ran from it since Tuesday, Brother Hoover. And I gave the Lord all kinds of excuses. I don't feel very well today. And just a lot of sinus congestion and pressure and not feeling real well. Satan's trying to attack my voice and different things. And so I thought, well, that's a good excuse, Lord. I don't feel too good today. And you know, I've been preaching hard on Wednesday nights. I gave him that excuse. Lord, I've already been preaching some hard ones on Wednesday nights. Don't make me preach a hard one on Sunday night. And I had all kinds of excuses. And every time I'd come up with an excuse, Brother Layton, I'd try to come up with something else. You know, maybe we could do this. Maybe we could do that. Maybe I could go back to questions and answers and you know, take another questions and answers service tonight. Or maybe I could play a tape. Or maybe I could just throw it on Brother Hoover or Brother Layton last minute and see if they had something that they had on their heart. And Wednesday night after service, I was standing out here in the parking lot, and a brother began to talk to me, and he summed up the entire sermon in about one sentence. I'm not going to do that tonight. You don't get off that easy. But but he summed up about the entire, it was Brother Tim Cross's dad. We were standing out here in the parking lot, and he said, made this statement, and I said, well, brother, I said, with the help of the Lord, that's what I'm going to preach on Sunday night. And so it was just a little confirmation there. And then we had to do some work at the church here yesterday, and Brother Jimmy began to talk about different things, you know, and I said, well, I said, I've got one that I've got on my heart, but I said, I don't know if I'm going to bring it Sunday night or not. And he said, oh, no, brother. He said, just bring it to us. Bring it to us. It's what we need. And he began to pull, and I'd try to go back to different things. Every time I did, it would come right back around to this. So we want to look at this thought of sheep's food tonight and what it means, what this word sheep food means. And Jesus said that his sheep hear his voice and that he knew them and that they follow him. And, you know, when we think of this thought of sheep's food, most of us have been automatically programmed to believe that when we talk about sheep's food, that that's just the tapes. And I want to go ahead and give another disclaimer this evening before we get started that I believe that that is sheep's food.
All right.
Amen. I believe we've got some good stored up sheep food for us. And I believe in the sheep food. I believe in eating the sheep food. But you notice Jesus said that his sheep hear his voice. We looked at a few months ago at this thought on the voice of God and what that meant, what God's voice was. Brother Branham said, he took us back and he said that God spoke in nature. He said it was the voice of God that told the bear to hibernate. He said it was the voice of God that wrote the Bible, that the Bible was God's voice to us. He comes around and he says, Brother Branham speaking, he says, I am God's voice to you. So we believe that. We believe in this generation that he was God's voice to us. He also told us that the ministering gifts, the five ministering gifts, was God's voice. And the voice of many waters, he said, was not only just the ministry, as some take it, or not only just the seven church age messengers, as some take it, but he said it was the voice of the bride, crying out down through all the ages, the voice of many waters. That voice of many waters, if you take it there, that word water, Brother Branham always said, is multitudes of people. And so we found that God's voice came that way, that God's voice came through the nine spiritual gifts, that God could speak in a still small voice to your heart, and that God could speak through his bride, you know, through a housewife or through somebody that is a good godly person, maybe seeking God in prayer, maybe they would lay something on their, God would lay something on their heart for you, that God's voice speaks in many different ways. Now, Jesus says again in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 3, it says, when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, I know when we begin to look at these things, you know, you begin to talk about God's voice. You begin to talk about sheep's food. You begin to talk about the things, how God moves and operates and things like that. If you're not careful, you know, people will assume that you're trying to set yourself up equal with Brother Branham. Or if you're not careful, the Spirit will get on you and you actually will try to set yourself up equal with Brother Branham. That's not what we're trying to do tonight at all. I understand that there's a difference in gifts. Jesus commanded St. Paul to teach us. He said, you know, there's differences of gifts and differences of operations, the way they manifest themselves, but it's all the same Spirit working through all and in you all.
Amen.
The same Spirit working. It would be the same Spirit that would have Brother Branham stand up and an angel of God reveal to him the loosing of the seven seals. The very same Spirit that anointed him to loose the seals and give them to us and tell them, as the angel revealed them to him and he revealed them to us. The very same Spirit that called him to do that would call a humble little housewife to sit down in her home and begin to teach her children Bible stories. Now, it's not the same gift at all. How could you compare a little housewife's ministry to the ministry of the seven church age messenger? But yet it's still the same Spirit working through all and in you all. The same Spirit that would lead me to get up here and to say something or do something is the same Spirit that can lead Brother Furman to pick the same song, or the musicians to pick the same song, or lead Brother Layton to say something, or to read a psalm that would go right along with the service, or lead a brother to say something in prayer that would go right along. The same God that could lay that quote that he laid on my heart this morning. I don't think he would mind if I shared it, but there was a brother here this morning that shared with me after service that his son had shared a quote with him this morning from the church age book that he thought would be encouraging to him. And out of the hundreds of thousands of paragraphs that are in the message, 1100 and something or 1200 and something tapes that we have, you can imagine the hundreds of thousands of paragraphs of words of Brother Branham. And his son picks the very same paragraph that I read from the church age book this morning and laid it on the kitchen table to encourage him. Now, I don't know about you. This brother goes to a different church than us. And you know, he may comb his hair different than me. He may brush his teeth in the opposite rotation than me. We may have different personalities or whatever it would be. But the same Spirit that laid it on my heart laid it on his heart.
That's right.
Amen. A lot of times we get this divided idea that it's my our four, no more. And if you don't go to church at the open door, or you don't go to this, or you don't do that, or you don't act that. It's the same Spirit working through all and in you all.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Bam said that was how he knew Paul was a Kentuckian. He said, you all. And he said, I reckon, and things like that.
Amen.
Amen. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, I recognize there's differences in gifts, there's differences in ministries and operations, but if it's the voice of God speaking, how could you turn to a little housewife that was sitting there teaching her children about the 12 disciples and say, they don't need you? We've had God's voice in this age. And that is God's voice to her children. She doesn't have the same gift that Brother Branham had, by no means. To compare her ministry to Brother Branham by no means would be any way comparable. But it's still God's voice if it's the word. Whether it's coming through a Sunday school teacher, whether it's coming through a deacon or a trustee, or whether it's coming through a ministry, whether it's coming through a housewife, whether it's coming from just a good godly person that has a zeal on their heart to see lost souls saved, and they're out here reading John 3:16. They may not know a bit more about God sending a prophet than anything else, but if they can stand there and quote John 3:16, that's part of the word.
Amen.
Their calling may just be to call some people out of the world. It may not be calling them into a bride. We had a prophet in this age that called people into a bride and into a bride age. But there's people outside of that city, you remember, that they never had maybe the opportunity to hear what we've heard and see what we've seen. But maybe some guy with the Salvation Army drum down on the corner reading John 3:16, and some guy drunk as a skunk come along and recognize that he needed that word. That was God's voice to him.
Amen.
Amen. It maybe didn't produce what it produced in you because it wasn't as much of the word. It wasn't as complete of the word, but it was a portion of the word that he could receive, and he might receive eternal life just from recognizing, I don't know all the word, I don't understand all the word, but I believe that right there. He'd be a lot better off than a lot of message folks that know more than he does and don't do all that they know. The Good Shepherd of the Sheep, 1957. And you know what sheep food is? It's the Word of God.
Yes.
Queen of Sheba, 1960. The Holy Spirit feeds you sheep food, and sheep food is the Bible.
All right.
So we recognize that there's more to it. That sheep food is the Bible. You mean you're reading this and you're eating sheep's food? Absolutely. But you have to recognize what this sheep food was. There's people out here in denominations that they read the same sheep food that we read, and they eat the same sheep food that we read, but it doesn't digest the same way in them because it hasn't been broken down by a vindicated prophet of God. And they can look and they can read where Paul said, "Oh, my, a woman shouldn't assert authority, and she shouldn't teach and preach and rise up in the church like that." And they say, "Oh, he didn't really mean that way. You know, Paul was just an old woman hater, and that was just the age that they lived in. But we've raised up into a higher intellect in this age, and you know, Paul wouldn't, if Paul was here in this age, he wouldn't teach that." Oh yes, he would. Oh yes, he would. The word of God doesn't change. The word of God is eternal. The word of God doesn't change because of culture or because of politics or because of what year that it is on the calendar. The word of God forever remains the same. And Paul, if he was here, he would preach the exact same gospel that he preached. And if he didn't, we would have to take his word and let him be accursed, because he said, "If I or an angel from heaven come and preach anything contrary to what I already taught you, let him be accursed." But I thank God that we don't just have to, you know, the Bible was wonderful. The Bible was God's love letter to us. It was his infallible word, and they've tried to pick it apart, and atheists have tried to attack it for years, but God put it together in the way that it is, and you don't have to fight for it and argue for it. The word of God will defend itself. It withstood the ages. It withstood all the, you know, the Catholic Church tried to keep it to where just the priests would have it in Latin, and they've tried to keep it from the people, and it's tried, people have tried to burn it and put it out and put it out of print and all kinds of different things, but the word of God has remained down through the centuries. But there's been people packing this same book that you and I packed for years that didn't have a bit more idea that what this said than anything. Amen. But yet in this age, God sends a prophet, and he pointed us, he didn't point us to something new and say, "Do away with your Bibles." He said, "This is sheep food." Right. This is sheep food. The problem is you've been eating it wrong. That's what he said. The problem is you've been getting to a spot you didn't like and spitting it out and saying, "Oh, that part about women preachers, or that part about cutting your hair, or that part about predestination, or no eternal hell, or that part about serpent seed, we don't like that. We'll just kind of spit that out. That's too much for us to chew." But he said, that's some of the best vitamins is right in there, what you're spitting out. Hey man, that's part of the mysteries, is to restore a bride back in this age. And he didn't point us to something else, but he pointed us right back to the word. And he said, "This is sheep food. The problem is you just haven't been eating it all." Communion in 1962. "And if a stranger speaks a voice that's not scriptural, quickly the sheep will recognize, they'll recognize it." Oh God, he says, "and if it's your voice, the Bible, and it says every sheep will hear it because it is sheep food." Oneness. Amen. 1962. What has he done? He has placed them with a true teacher. True prophets who stay with his word, the Bible. "My sheep hear my voice," said Jesus. If that was his voice then, it's his voice now. Anything contrary to that voice, it's not sheep food. They won't follow it. Amen. You know how I know Brother Branham was a vindicated prophet? Not just because a pillar of fire hung over his head, although I believe that was part of it. I believe that was part of the vindication. Not just because he had signs in his hands and that he could discern the thoughts and intents of the people's hearts. I believe that was part of it. That was part of the vindication. But what really vindicated him to the bride of Jesus Christ was that he could take us right back into the word, and his message and ministry would stay right with the word when there were many others that were anointed. They had signs and wonders following. They had gifts. They had things. They had supernatural things happen in their meetings. Brother Hoover and my dad and Brother Jimmy and Brother Layton and different ones of you that was in the Pentecostal realm sat right underneath some of those things. Wonderful moves of the Holy Spirit. Wonderful signs following. Supernatural things taking place. And vindicated ministries in that way as far as signs and wonders following. But then when it came to certain parts of the word, they just couldn't rise up high enough into it to stay with it. And they would explain it away because, "Well, you know, if we teach that, then we'll lose all these offerings from these women preachers, or we'll get kicked out of this group or that church or this church." And they would explain it away. But there came a prophet of God in this age that he took us back to the original word, and he said, "Don't compromise with it. If it's contrary to this, it's not sheep's food." Amen. Amen. Now I've been taught, not by my parents, but you know, by people in this area, it's been been forced down my throat for years, Brother Jimmy, ever since I was a little boy, this line of thinking that, you know, well, we have sheep's food in this age. We had a prophet of God that came and gave us sheep's food. And why would you, if you've got a nice, big, juicy T-bone steak, Brother Hoover, then why on earth would you want to eat an old can of beans or something like that when you have such a perfect word? And why would you want to leave this perfect T-bone steak and go back to a can of beans? Well, intellectually, that sounds okay, I guess. But, I believe in a balanced diet, too. And not only that, if we read along far enough tonight, we'll find out that Brother Branham actually said, sheep don't eat T-bone steaks. Now, I'm not saying that against Brother Branham's message or the tapes. I'm saying that about their perverted idea of it and the way they've got it figured out. That, well, we've got a T-bone steak now, so we don't need, canned soup or canned beans or canned this or canned that. I don't know about you. Every once in a while, I like some good old canned corn or some canned green beans or something like that. It's good to have a balanced diet. But he said sheep don't eat steaks. Sheep don't eat hamburgers. Sheep don't eat these things. Sheep eat sheep food. And, as humans, we really wouldn't like, if we wanted to get really down into the natural, they want to talk about steaks and beans and things like that. But if you want to get down in the natural, a sheep, what it loves more than just about anything is some good clover. And to get out there in the grass and eat some of that good, thick clover, and they just love to eat that. Now, that to you and me, if we went out here, that would turn our stomachs. We couldn't hardly handle it. But that's what they love because it's sheep's food. And a real good shepherd, David being a prime example, he began to recognize this. He said, the Lord is my shepherd, and he makes me to lie down by the green pastures. He doesn't lay me out here in the muddy waters and in the dusty hills and things, but he makes me lie down in the good green pastures. Now, maybe as a sheep, sometimes we if we're not careful, we try to figure it out. I don't want to lay down here. There's shade over there in that dust bowl over there. There's, good cool water over there in that mud hole. But the shepherd said, no, you stay right here where there's good thick clover because you're going to have need of it. The Good Shepherd of the Sheep, 1957. Doesn't the word do something to you? You know what it is? It's food. It's God's food for his sheep. And the Bible is God's sheep food. Isn't that right? The Bible said, I believe David said, it tastes like honey in the rock. Yes, the word of God is so sweet. I've seen it come into the people's heart by the old-fashioned sanctified preaching of the word. You mean sheep's food can come that way? Surely not. Come down until people where it really actually just licked their lips like they were literally tasting something that was good when the blessings of the Lord would be so close and so loving and so kind. Again, convinced and then concerned, 1962. What is sheep food? The bread of life. Jesus is the bread of life, gospel, truth. Preach it without compromising. Then you know that when you have to answer at the day of the judgment for their soul as a minister of the gospel, you can stand and say, that's what was wrote in the word. Feed them the truth. Feed my sheep. Amen. Jesus, when he was getting ready to ascend back up into heaven, and he walked by and Peter was standing there, and he just stopped and he turned and he said, you love me, Peter? Yes, Lord, I love you. Mm-hmm. Feed my sheep. Started to walk a little further. You sure you really love me, Peter? Yes, I love you, Lord. Feed my sheep. Started to walk a little further again. Peter, are you really sure? He said, Lord, you know my heart. You know the integrity of my heart. You know I love you. He said, feed my sheep. There's a commandment given to shepherds to feed the sheep, to feed the flock. And we recognize that, sometimes the word of God, it comes through different forms.
Amen.
I know that's not popular. But the word of God comes through different forms. It comes through the Bible. Comes through the message, and comes through the body. Amen. Amen. We've had the written word for generations after generations for thousands of years. Didn't do anybody or not very many people very much good. They'd get a little ways into it. But until we really had a full restoration of the word, they couldn't really go in and recognize what this said, even though they had it sitting right there. They had it on their bookshelves. The same King James Bible that we've had, they've had for thousands of years. Amen. Sitting there on the shelf. They could turn the same pages that we read and read the same things that Paul said that we read. But then a prophet of God comes and takes it and says, this is the written word. Now I'm going to show you the revealed word.
All right.
Amen. Some of them have got that far, but I don't want to just show you the revealed word. I don't want to just show you either. I want you to become the living word.
Amen.
The manifested word. That it doesn't just have to stay on your King James Bible. That's wonderful. It's come further than that. It's been lifted up into a spot to where it's been restored and revealed to where we don't have to scratch our head and say, now what did Paul mean about broided hair and things like that? We can go back to questions and answers, and a vindicated prophet of God can tell us what it was. We can scratch our head with questions and things that, you know, back in the denominations you had. You don't have to scratch your head no more. We had a vindicated prophet come and restore us back. But if that doesn't change your life and produce something in you, what good is it doing you?
Amen.
Oh, it might give you some head knowledge and you'd be able to argue and debate it with somebody else and prove how smart you all are, but the devil can do that. The devil can argue and debate. In fact, you know, I don't really like to get into arguing and debating. I just like to let the word manifest itself. Amen. The word will prove what it is. God in your life will prove. Somebody can come up to you and say, you don't have the Holy Ghost. And you can say, yes, I do. And they can say, prove it to me. And you can begin to argue back and forth over quotes. The best way to prove to them that you have the Holy Ghost is to live a life that's vindicated, that the Holy Ghost has made a change in your life. Amen. They may be able to argue and debate and over doctrines and over quotes and things like that, but they'll have to just sit there and say, well, you know, there's one thing I can say about them. They're a real Christian.
Uh-huh.
They've got a real Christian attitude. That's the best vindication of the Holy Ghost, is a lived life.
Amen.
Not how much you know and how much you can teach and how much you can tell. Shepherd of the Sheepfold, 1956. We're preachers of the gospel. Not to try to put people on penalty and crawl on your knees and so forth. There's a lot of preachers of the gospel that need to read this quote. We're preachers of the gospel not to try to put people on penalty and crawl on your knees and so forth, but to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, deliverance to the people. That's what the shepherds are supposed to do, to feed the sheep.
Amen.
You go in and you type sheep food or sheep asterisk food to where it'll get sheep or sheeps, and you begin to read quotes like this. I was sitting studying for the Wednesday night services a while back, and the Lord just dropped it in my heart. Search sheep food. And I thought, okay. Wasn't really thinking about that, but I'm going to do it. I began to read through some of these quotes, and I thought, all these years, people have beat me over the head. Why didn't I have these quotes when I was 12 years old and people was making statements like this? Probably because the Lord knew I wouldn't really know how to handle it in the right way. God didn't call us to slap people upside the head with a quote. But he told us to teach in love. Speak the word in love. To preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Deliverance to the people. That's what the shepherds are supposed to do, to feed the sheep. You know, he said to Peter, love me. Peter, more than these, yes, feed my sheep. Now, he never said, drive my sheep. He never said, kick my sheep. He said, feed my sheep. That's what the sheep needs, is some sheep food. Don't you think so?
Amen.
Amen. He didn't call the ministry to beat the sheep over the head with it and tell them, you know, now listen here. This is what we think around here. And we're the final word here. And we're going to usurp authority over you. And this is how we think you should run your house. And this is how we think you should raise your kids. And this is what, you know, the length of sleeve we think you should wear. And this is the, you know, the amount of time that we think you should spend on this and the amount of time you should spend on that. And we're going to set all these ordinances and things in. And we're the totalitarian final word on these things. He said, don't kick his sheep. Don't drive his sheep.
Amen.
Don't put him in a penalty box and make him crawl around and, you know, make up for something. Feed the sheep.
Amen.
The sad thing is, a lot of pastors have spent so much time whipping and beating and kicking their sheep around instead of just feeding them. I believe it was Brother Hall that mom and dad used to follow his ministry before they came to the message. He said, you know, you can have an old hog come up to eat some corn at the hog pen. And he said, you know, he's coming wanting that corn that you got, corn on a cob or whatever you got for him. And he said, but you take that corn on the cob and you begin to beat him over the head with it. After a while, he won't come back around anymore. There's a lot of churches that you see, they get smaller and they get smaller and they get smaller until there's about six or seven of them sitting around. They think, well, you know, nobody believes it like us and nobody stands it for it like us and everybody has walked off and forsaken us. And I want to grab some of them, Brother Hoover, and shake them and say, no, you drove about half of them off yourself. A lot of them didn't walk off and forsake you. You drove about half of them off yourself, the way that you treated them and the way that you talked to them. Sheep don't need to be beat over the head. They need to be fed. That's what the sheep needs, is some sheep food, don't you think so? And you know the best sheep food I know of for you sick sheep and all kinds of sheep? He said, here it is. That's right. In this great big bread basket of God. Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.
Amen.
I don't know about you. I want to take every word. If it's a brother that picks up the phone and calls me and says, Brother Nathan, I don't even know what you're going through. I don't know the circumstances. But God woke me up about 4 o'clock in the morning last night, and I prayed for you for about 3 hours, and I just wanted to let you know. Now, that's not a cassette tape. That's not maybe an anointed man of God in the pulpit. That may not be a person that even has an office in the church. But to me, that's God's voice to me. Let me know I care about you. And I encourage you enough. I love you enough to encourage you that I woke this brother up and he lost about 3 hours of sleep the other night because I love you and I care about you. And I want to let you know that's God's voice to me.
Amen.
Amen. That doesn't do away with preaching. That doesn't do away with the tapes, but the bride of Jesus Christ, Brother Branham said it, we've read it over and over and over, she'll be the final voice to the final age. I want all that his voice would say to me, whatever form it would come in. When I turn on a tape, I don't have to sit there and wonder, now wait a minute, you know, if you're not careful, you'll start listening like some of these defectors, and you'll start trying to find out, now, you know, what was that he said, and is that historically accurate, is that numerically accurate, is that dately accurate, historically, is the names that he's using for some of these historical characters, is he pronouncing them the right way? Is he saying them the right way? And if you're not careful, you'll begin to listen to the message through their filter, but I don't want their garbage filter. Amen. When I turn on that tape, I can recognize this is sheep's food that I'm feasting on. I don't have to worry about, oh my, you know, what about what brother so-and-so said over here, and this brother said he wasn't anointed over here, and this brother said he wasn't anointed over there. It's sheep's food to me.
Amen.
There's something about it. I've never turned on a tape and walked away and said, oh my, I'm so discouraged after what he said on that tape. I'm so depleted, and I just, you know, the way that he talked on there, just the things that he said, the revelations that he revealed, and the things that he called out, and the people that he prayed for, it just discouraged me so badly. No, it's sheep's food.
Right.
Hey man, this word right here, there's people in denominations with good intentions and all the sincerity in the world. You'll go to talk to them about this, and they'll say, well, you know, Mark 16 over there wasn't really inspired, and they'll begin to say things like that. That doesn't change it a bit for me. Mark 16 is sheep's food for me.
Amen.
I'm glad Brother Branham really dealt with that and clinched a nail, or we'd have people right around the message, things that they didn't like that's in here that St. Paul said about the ministry and different things. They'd be saying, well, you know, Paul really didn't mean that, and Paul really didn't say that. But now they just say, well, this is just what we believe. You know, this, we don't really have a quote or a scripture or any foundation. It's a bottomless pit, just like, you know, the Catholic Church out here with the Pope saying all these other things. We don't have a quote or a scripture, but we believe that you shouldn't do this and you shouldn't do that and you shouldn't do this and you shouldn't do that. But if I got up here and preached things like that, that I had no scriptural or message foundation for, they'd crucify me out here on the city hall. But those that just preach in parking lots get away with it. Convinced and Then Concerned, 1962. Now, Jesus said, if you love me, feed my sheep. That's it. Now, we don't want to feed them educational programs. We don't want to feed them denominational weeds. But sheep eat sheep food. That's what it takes to make a sheep fat, is sheep food. That's exact right. And it's sheep food is the gospel of preaching of the power of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, bringing him in person to the people.
Amen.
That's what they hate. That's what they hated in the days of Jesus. They didn't have a problem with what Moses said about Messiah. They had a problem when Moses came in person to them. That's what people have a problem with today. They don't have a problem with what happened in 1959 or 1963, but you try to bring him in person today and tell them about the way they're living or the TV shows that they watch, they can sit and listen to I Love Lucy and, you know, what Brother Bram said about her and what Brother Bram said about Elvis and the Beatles, and it doesn't faze them a bit because they're not watching I Love Lucy or Elvis or the Beatles. They've gone a lot further and deeper into sin than that, but you get to talking about their favorite things to do, and bless God, who is he to tell me? They don't like you to bring him in a living person of a present tense reality that gets him right down in your own living room and steps on your toes a little bit. They don't like him in person to the people. Whatever form it's coming in, whether it's a little housewife, whether it's a pastor, whether it's a missionary, whatever it is, there's many people, bless God, we don't need that. What they mean is they don't like that. He's not dead. He's alive. And alive forevermore, he's here tonight. And that's the gospel. As the eagle stirreth up her nest, 1960. I like that. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Don't drive them. Feed them. Feed them the word. They like sheep food. You know, some people don't like this sheep food. The sheep food is that good old time feeling of old time salvation, just as free as you can feel and no condemnation. While we used to stand up and clap our hands and sing, I feel all right. There's no condemnation in my heart. Having a great time. And of course, it'll cause the little chickens to look up and say, tisk, 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 fanaticism. That spirit doesn't die. That spirit doesn't die. Oh, my, we had a wonderful move of the spirit the other night. You know, people was screaming and shouting and running to the altar and laying in the floors. And, well, over at our church, when the spirit moves, it's just real soft and timid. Doesn't make a lot of noise. Must not be the same one that fell on the day of Pentecost then. Amen. Well, somebody didn't like that, but that's all right. You better be careful. Go back and read how it acted on the day of Pentecost. It came like a mighty rushing wind, and they burst through the doors, speaking in tongues and falling around, staggering like drunk men, going out in the streets, staggering around. People said, goodness, these guys are drunk, and it's not even the 9 in the morning hardly, and these guys are already drunk on new wine. He said, no, sir, this is that. This is what Joel was talking about. I recognize that some of you Pharisees can't accept it, but this is what Joel was talking about, that I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. People are scared of it today. They don't like it. They want to go in a prayer closet and just real quietly, oh, Lord Jesus, don't ever let me act like some of those people. Don't ever make me kick over the chairs and run the aisles or speak in tongues or do anything like that, Lord. Don't worry. He won't if you keep that attitude. Can you imagine them up there in the upper room? One of them, oh, Lord, here I used to be a tax collector. Here I used to be all these great things. I used to have a name. I used to have a title. Now I'm following a man that they crucified. Oh, don't let me do something foolish, Lord. Don't let me make a scene. Some of these people know my prestige and where I used to work and where I used to attend church. And, I just bought this robe and I don't want to get it crinkled or creased or get some dirt on it. Don't make me do anything that would be, you know, and that's why they had to stay there about 10 days, I figure, Brother Hoover. You know, if they would have just yielded to the Spirit quicker, it wasn't that the Holy Spirit couldn't come. It wasn't that the Holy Spirit was somewhere way off, you know, in some other dimension and had to come 50 billion light years and get to him, and that's why it took 10 days. The reason it took 10 days is they had to die out to themselves. And they had to die out to that old starchiness, and they had to get in one mind and one accord.
Yes, sir.
One heart working together for the body of Jesus Christ, to where these same guys that were arguing a few days ago, is John's ministry greater or is James's ministry greater? And right, am I going to have the higher seat or is he going to have the higher seat? And do I really have to wash Peter's feet? You know, he's got worms and mud and all kinds of things. Can't we let somebody else wash Peter's feet? These same guys up there, they begin to pray and the anointing of the God, of the Lord begin to fall down on them, and they begin to say, you know what, I don't care about all that anymore. I don't care who's greater. I don't care who has the bigger ministry. I don't care who has the biggest church or the most members or the highest steeple. I don't care if I get my jeans dirty or if I rip my dress pants or if I scuff up my shoes. I got to have something from God. Oh, let us get desperate tonight enough to want more of God in our life, to where we don't care what the neighbor thinks. We don't care what the person sitting in our pew thinks or what the person in the back of the church is going to think. We just say, God, let it happen again like it did on the day of Pentecost. But there'll be those, he said, that'll sit, tisk, 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 fanaticism. What did he call them? Little chickens. I don't know about you. I don't want to be a chicken. He called me to be an eagle.
Amen.
And while the chickens are down there, cluckety, cluckety, cluck, peck, 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 cluckety, cluckety, cluck, that great eagle begins to cry, ah! And it cries out and it spreads its wings and fly over. And those chickens say, why has he got to be so loud? Why has he got to make so much noise? Cluckety, 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 peck, peck, peck. Go ahead and eat your old manure out there. We're feeding on sheep food.
Amen.
Amen. We've got a vindicated word in this age. Amen. The problem is, some of them, even claiming to eat sheep food, have dragged so much of that manure from their denominations in around the message, and they want to have sheep food, but then they surround it, you know, oh, don't let me, I can't let this, that was a good manure pile there, and that was some good worms over here, and I just can't let go of this over here, and they surround all that good sheep food with all their man-made garbage that they drag with them out of the denominational barnyard. Why would you want that when we've got pure sheep food? Oh my, he said somebody will come into a church. He said somebody went into a church a while back. I was listening to him on a tape the other day, and he said they went in there and the pastor began to say, oh my, Jesus Christ, the Son of God came to earth. They said, amen. Said everybody turn around like a bunch of banty roosters, look their turn their necks around. Said, who was that slipped in here? Must have been a holy roller somewhere.
Uh-huh.
Said the pastor kind of cleared his throat and went on to say something else that was, you know, just preaching the word of God, but just, you know, real dry, no emotion to it, just reading something that somebody else had wrote or something that somebody else had did, no life to himself. And he began to read a little further, and they said, begin to say, glory to God, and the deacons asked him to leave.
Uh-huh.
Don't think that spirit don't try to creep right in around the message.
Amen.
Oh my, we wouldn't allow that in our church. Well, don't worry, you won't have to allow it very long. We wouldn't allow people running and speaking in tongues and shouting and dancing. We wouldn't allow that in our church. I don't think you'll have to worry about it. As the eagle stirreth up her nest, 1960. Oh, I like to have sheep food, good food, the power of God, the word of God, the Holy Ghost feeds on it.
Yeah.
That's what the church needs tonight is good, solid gospel preaching, gospel teaching, gospel salvation, and a gospel Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen. That's a lot of gospel, but we need it.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, my. Why do we get so scared sometimes? Why? You know, it's because somebody has tried to push their manure on you that they dragged in from outside of the message. You'll never hear Brother Branham saying some of the things that people say, negative about a move of the Holy Spirit or negative about a God-called ministry or
Amen.
Negative about what God is doing over at this church or that church. But what it is they drag so much manure with them, you know, from their old denomination or their old chicken pen that they think nobody has as good a manure as we do. Well, I might have to agree with that, but I'm not looking to eat on your manure. Pile. I'm looking to eat on sheep food. That's what the church needs tonight is good, solid gospel preaching, gospel teaching, gospel salvation, and a gospel Holy Ghost. Amen. We are not so interested in what this nation might not need a new president, the city might not need a new mayor, but what we need today is a good old time St. Paul's revival and the Bible Holy Ghost back in the church again. That's what we need. Sheep food, sheep fed on sheep food, not ecclesiastical weeds.
Amen.
Amen. If it doesn't go back to the original, you better be careful. You got some ecclesiastical weeds growing around your sheep food somewhere. The Lamb and the Dove, 1957. And the real shepherd leads the sheep. Oh, brother, a real shepherd feeds the sheep the right kind of food if he loves the sheep. And the sheep food, you say, Brother Branham, what is it? It isn't intellectual. It isn't go away to school and get an education. That's all right, but that isn't it. The shepherd feeds the sheep on sheep food. You know what sheep food is? The word of God. That's right. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's sheep food. Now notice, he'll just not starve you to death. He'll give you some real vitamins.
Amen.
He might not have a good barn to put you in. You know, you might be in a one-room schoolhouse or a building that was a house or an old storefront or something like that. He may not have a good barn to put you in, he says. He might not have a good barn to put you in, but he'll feed you good. That's the best part. I tell you, I'd rather have an old shack and get a good square meal than to be somewhere and not get nothing to eat but all kinds of fine decoration with a big cover charge on it. Brother Stephen and Brother Trevor, they like to find these, you know, barbecue restaurants that look like, you know, somebody renovated their grandma's house and made it into a barbecue place. And you think, oh, goodness, I don't know. I don't know about going in there, brothers. But usually you find some of the best food in places like that. Oh, my. He says, I like to eat, and especially at the Word of God, at the table of God, with old-fashioned, born-again experience preaching from the Word of God, certainly.
Amen.
Presuming 1962, may out of here go missionaries. Out of here go famous pastors. Grant it, Lord, give food, sheep food to them, Lord. They desire sheep food. Thy word, magnify thyself, Father, in our midst through Jesus' name.
Amen.
The Rejected King, 1960. We still got T.L. Osborne's and so forth that still feed sheep food. Now, I don't know about you. If I was pointing somebody to some sheep food, he says this about Oral Roberts again in the next quote. I don't know if I'd point him to T.L. Osborne or Oral Roberts, but what he's talking about, he said that when he went over there to India and Africa and places like that, and the move of the Holy Spirit so great and signs and wonders and healings and things, T.L. Osborne went down in another country, and he said he didn't even lay hands on the people. He said T.L. Osborne would just get up there and read the scriptures, just read them the word and say, just accept what the word said and preach that word in such a way that it would tie the devil in knots, and people would just stand up all over the place getting healed. He said it didn't make him tired. He said him and his wife would just go and walk on the beach afterwards, the different countries that they went to. It wasn't the same type of ministry. You couldn't have compared his ministry to Brother Branham's, but he was still getting results. He was still doing something for the kingdom of God. And Brother Branham said, when Billy Graham went over there, and he said nothing against Billy Graham, he said we love our brother, but he said when he went over there and that man withstood him and said, you know, about all the different things that he was claiming there about the word of God, and Billy Graham backed down on it, he said, oh, I wish he would have got a hold of somebody that could have produced what it said.
Right.
You can read between the lines. I wish he would have got a hold of somebody that could have produced what it said. And he said, but even the newspapers over there, those Muslim countries and things like that, the newspapers even said, well, Mr. Graham may not have been able to produce some of these things, but you remember when William Branham was in Durban, South Africa, and when T.L. Osborne was down here and the different healings and the different things.
Right.
And he said, we still got T.L. Osbornes and so forth that still feed sheep food.
Man.
The rejected king again. We got a little sick girl sitting here. That your child? What's your trouble, sister? Ma'am? Brain hemorrhage. Brother Branham has a conversation with the mother of the afflicted child. Then he turns around and asks Brother Neville some questions. He says, since Brother Neville went down and prayed for her, she's gotten better. Still have shepherds that know sheep food. That know where there's a little bit of balm in Gilead still to go down, and when there's a sick sheep, give them a little bit. Brother Bram said that David, when he would have a sick sheep, and some of them, he said they would go down and they would put a little honey on this rock that if they licked a certain type of stone, it would cure the sickness that they had, but they couldn't get the sheep to just go and lick the stone, so they would put a little honey on the rock so that the sheep would go over and begin to lick it, and begin, when they got the honey and got past that part, they were getting the mineral and calciums and things off of that rock that they needed for their healing.
Right.
And many of you, if you would have just went there and all he preached was serpent seed and no eternal hell and no women preachers and things, it would have scared you to death and ran you away, even though it's what you really needed. But God brought a little honey with signs and wonders following, and there was a little bait on the hook of vindication and my first and second and third pull there to draw the people and begin to see what God was doing and manifesting himself. And they began to lick on that honey, and some of them got through and got a little bit of the calcium and vitamins and things of the word that was right there underneath all of that honey on the exterior. He said divine healing is just the bait on the hook. It was just to get our attention.
Right.
Amen. I'm glad he had something to get our attention with. I'm glad he had something to stir up the bride and help her to recognize the awakening of the bride that was taking place. Again, the rejected king, 1960. Listen, they've got some little Davids in the world today. They not be recognized by Sauls, that's true. But there's still some little Davids in the world that's pasturing and feeding God's sheep food.
Amen.
Again, the rejected king. Yes, sir, look at Tommy Osborne, Oral Roberts, men who feed the flock on sheep food. The days of miracles is not past, as says the theologians. If the days of miracles is past, the day of God is past. God is a miracle. Certainly, there you are, sheep food.
Amen.
Now, they didn't go and preach what Brother Branham preached in the depth and the magnitude that Brother Branham preached. They maybe didn't even agree with him on some things doctrinally, but they were going out and they were given this portion of the word. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. The days of miracles aren't past. God's healing. We can prove it because he healed all these last night. Look at these crutches and look at these stretchers and look at these wheelchairs. Look at these, you know, Jack Cole would bring them up and he'd take, you know, people that had bad vision and things. He had a little anvil and a little hammer and he'd take their glasses from them and just bust up their glasses right there. But many of them got healed. They didn't need them anymore. Different things that, you know, he did. Maybe I would have been scared to death to do some of the things that he did. But God was still healing the people and honoring his faith. What was it? They maybe not had the portion of word that we have, but they were still trying to hand out a little bit of sheep food here.
Man.
Maybe instead of having a whole granary full, maybe they just had a handful, but at least they were doing their part, handing out that, saying, look, I've got some scriptures here about healing. I've got some scriptures here about salvation. That didn't change the fact that it was sheep food. But when they got on something else and began to bring other things in, you stop where the sheep food stops. Questions and Answers, 1961. Now, sheep will only grow as you give them sheep food. Now, if you fry up a big hamburger and give it to a sheep, he couldn't grow on that because, see, that's not sheep food, see? And if it, I would fry up or be have a nice T-bone steak fixed up, give it over to a sheep, it's not sheep food. He just couldn't eat it. That's all because he's a sheep, but sheep like sheep food.
Amen.
Well, then you're to feed the flock of God. Don't feed them on some man-made theology. Feed them on the word, for that's where the sheep grow from. Feed the word.
Amen.
We're not anybody's judge, but you can get around somebody for a while and tell whether they've really been feeding on sheep food or not. Because if they're feeding on sheep food, it'll cause them to grow. Now, you can go out here, and there can be a little old sheep running around the pasture, and he can be just about as skinny as you can see. You know, doesn't have hardly any wool on him, and you can see his ribs through what wool he has. And he's just, oh my, his head stooped down. It looks like he's about to pass out. But you get him and begin to give him some real good water, and you begin to give him some real good sheep food, and you watch over him and protect him, make sure the wolves don't come in, make sure none of the other sheep or wolves or goats are trying to come in and steal his food, and you just keep giving him sheep food and keep giving him sheep food and keep giving him sheep food, and you'll notice his coat begins to fill out. And you stop seeing those ribs, and he begins to get fatter and healthier. And that head that dragged down when he first came to church, I mean, first came to your pasture, that head begins to raise up, and he begins to recognize, you know what? I was beat down in this corral over here, and I was beat down in that corral over there. But there's something about it when somebody just began to feed me sheep food without trying to bring in their legalistic manure or their denominational manure or this, that, or the other, and just sheep food, sheep food, sheep food. I begin to rise up something in me and recognize, you know what, I feel better than I used to. What is it? Feeding them sheep food. But you can usually tell by somebody's spiritual maturity whether they've really grown very much in sheep food. And yet maybe been surrounded by sheep food all their life. Maybe surrounded by tapes. Maybe surrounded by godly ministry. But you can be surrounded by it, but you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink.
Right.
I can play a tape to the devil. I can preach to the devil till I go down on my knees and buckle and come up like Brother Bram said that brother did. I can preach as hard, preach my heart out almost. It ain't going to change the devil. Because I can bring him to water, but I can't make him drink. Amen. I can keep tapes before you. I can keep anointed ministry before you. I can read the scriptures. I can read the quotes. You can see the prayer lines and see the signs and wonders and healings. But until you begin to accept that for yourself and say, you know what? Those old weeds that I was chewing on, that old manure pile I was hanging around, that old denominational dogma that I was tied to, I recognize there's something. I don't need to hold on to that stuff anymore. I tried to drag all that right into the message. But you know what? What we need is sheep's food. We need the word of God. That's where the sheep grow from. That's where the sheep begin to grow and to develop and to recognize, you know what? I'm not just some skeleton out here about to fall over. I'm a sheep.
Amen.
Let me read it again. Feed them on the word, for that's where the sheep grow from. Feed the word. Questions and answers. 1961. We can't say, well, 2 weeks ago I had a great experience of God. What about right now? See? Every day, fresh, a new blessing from a new something coming from God, the hidden manna coming down from God out of heaven. Now, if you're not careful, some ministers, you know, that claim to be around the message, they've heard quotes like this and they've pulled scriptures like this and they got a one-sided view of it and they begin to call the tape stale manna and things like that, but that's not what he's saying at all. We had fresh manna fall in this age, and that stored up food is just as fresh as it always was, but it's still fallen. The presence of the Holy Spirit is still fallen day in and out, night after night, day after day, still anointing ministers, whether he's anointing them to play a tape, whether he's anointing them to preach, whether he's anointing them to get up and read the scripture, whatever it would be. It's as long as it's the word of God, we should be able to accept it in whatever form it's coming in. The word of God is the word of God. If God, a brother was sharing a testimony with us the other night at the men's meeting, and he said he was out facing a situation. He was out hunting, and it began to rain, and he was caught out there in the wilderness, and a mountain lion came upon him, and he said he was beginning to worry for his life a little bit, and this mountain lion getting closer and closer to him, and his wife, who was miles away, didn't know what was taking place, but the Holy Spirit just placed it on her heart to step out on the front porch of their house, and she said, oh, Daniel, your God can deliver you from the mouth of the lion.
Amen.
That was the voice of God.
Amen.
Through a little humble housewife.
Amen.
And the mountain lion turned and walked off and left him alone.
Amen.
Amen. I would have hate to have said, well, bless God, my pastor didn't say that, so I'm not going to accept it. Well, if you want to get ate by a lion, you go ahead. I'll accept God's voice, whatever form it comes in.
Amen.
Bless God, I'm not going to accept that. Brother, you know, that wasn't a tape that she was playing. She went out and spoke that herself. Isn't that what the tapes told us to do?
Right.
To speak the word, to claim it for yourself, to apply it to yourself personally. Don't just leave it. I love it in page form, but don't leave it getting dusty in page form. You apply it to your life.
Amen.
Amen. That, those words had been there in the Bible for 2,000 years, but she just didn't leave it up there gathering dust on the leather of her Bible. But she began to speak forth, not even knowing why. Why am I saying this? Maybe she thought she was crazy like I do half the time. Lord, why did I say that? Why did I preach that? Why did I do that? And then somebody come around and say, Brother Nathan, you just don't know. You just don't know what you said. And I say, usually I say, that's right. I don't know. I didn't know. Thank you for telling me why I said it. She walked out there. I don't know why I'm saying this. I don't know why I'm doing this. But Daniel, your God can deliver you. It had been written for years. But now she applies it to a situation. She doesn't even know why she's doing it or how she's doing it. But the Holy Ghost begins to speak forth. He's still Jehovah Jireh tonight.
Amen.
I want to accept his voice in any form that it comes in. I want to accept his word in any form that it comes in. I don't want to reject him. Anything that he has for me, if it comes through a 9-year-old kid, I want to accept it.
Amen.
Amen. Don't think God can't do that. Sometimes God will touch the heart of a little child. You looked at a couple Wednesday nights ago. You saw some of these 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13-year-olds standing up, raising their hands and crying and praising God. Don't you think God can't use a little one like that? God used a 12-year-old body one time to correct a bunch of Pharisees that was probably in their 90s and had probably read more word than we could even imagine. And they sat there in their old rank doctrines and theologies, and they had it all figured out. And this little 12-year-old boy comes up and begins to tell them what the word was really saying. Oh my, God help us to accept the word in any form it comes in. Unbelief does not hinder God. 1962. Let me stop there and just drive this nail again. If Brother Branham could hear the voice of God off of a cigarette pack, I believe we should be able to find the voice of God anywhere we look. Brother Branham said that little deacon was out there rowing that boat, and that little boy said, I went to my mommy and I asked her, can anybody see God? She said, I don't know. Ask your Sunday school teacher. Typical message person, I guess, you know. The Sunday school teacher said, I don't know. Go ask the pastor, you know. And he said, oh, no, honey, nobody can see God. The scripture says no man has seen God at any time. St. John, you know. And the little boy began to get a little discouraged, and the man just stopped rowing the boat, and he began to cry. He said, son, all I've seen for the last 30 years is God. He could see him in the sunrise. He could see him in the flowers. He could see him in nature. He could see him in God's people. He could see him everywhere he looked. Let me tell you, friends, you don't have to look very far. If you begin to look hard enough, you'll see God moving in every circumstance and every situation. You can see him at your job. You can see him at your school. You can see him at the supermarket. Oh, I don't know what he's doing tonight, but I'm enjoying it. You can see him wherever you go. Don't think, oh, well, I'm just in Laodicea today, so God, I'm just going to go out here with blinders on. And why don't you look around and see God?
Amen.
Stop staring at those women in yoga pants and look up and see God somewhere out there.
Amen.
Unbelief does not hinder God, 1962. We believe brethren and ministers who try to live as close to God as we can. Are we brethren and ministers, rather, who are trying to live as close to God as we can because we have a sacred duty to watch over the flock of God, which the Holy Spirit has made us overseers. We watch the flock to keep them in order, to feed them sheep's food. And sheep eats from the Bible, the lambs of God. Oh, my, I want to eat from his word. There's sometimes, you know, you get to listen to a tape or you get in a good service where the Holy Spirit's just pouring and you just want to eat and eat and eat. And then there's some people that all they can think about is, my, I want to get to Burger King and eat and eat and eat, or I want to get to Dairy Queen. That's why we dismiss early sometimes. I see some of you are standing there with your arms crossed and all you can think about is the parking lot, and other people with their hands raised and all they can think is, God, just let me stay in this presence for 2 more minutes. Let me stay in it for 5 more minutes. Let me stay in it for 10 minutes. As long as you'll let me physically handle it and as long as you'll stay here, Lord. And then others walk out, I didn't feel nothing. What was all that screaming about? What was all that shouting about? Well, if you get your head out of your denominational ideas or your worldly stuff or whatever you was thinking about, your job or your school or whatever, long enough to actually enter into his presence, you know what they were talking about.
Amen.
Why it had to be shepherd, 1964. God's sheep feed on his food. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And this is it, the Bible.
Amen.
Amen. His word. His word. Now, it's... not only just in Bible form. It's in revealed form. It's in manifested form. From the youngest child here that knows what it means to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, to the oldest one that maybe is thinking thoughts of crossing on over and about to go home, whatever it would be. Doesn't matter your age. Doesn't matter your status. Doesn't matter your culture or your background or whatever it would be. God is still moving. God is still using individuals. God is still, he's leading and he's guiding and he's working. If we could just open up our eyes to see, he's everywhere we look.
Amen.
He's everywhere we look. Amen. If we could just have spiritual eyes to look and see. Many times all we can look and see is the negative. Oh, my, this happened and sister so-and-so said this and brother so-and-so said this. And I guess I'm going to have to talk to him about this. And I'm going to have to go do that. And if you're not careful, you'll stay in a little negative bubble and fail to recognize what God was doing over here and over here and up there and over there. And we walk through life and we look through these goggles of negativity and we fail to recognize everything that God's doing all around us.
Amen.
My sheep hear my voice.
Amen.
A stranger's voice they won't hear. Oh, my, people say, I wouldn't go listen to a preacher. I'm afraid I'd commit spiritual fornication. Well, you better be careful what you're saying about Brother Branham then. He said, I love to sit and hear the anointed preach. Oh, I couldn't go do this and I couldn't go to that. You better be careful. You better go back and read again some of the things that it said before you make too quick of a decision and make a blanket statement of, well, this is infinitively that. I hate blanket statements. I've said that, no, I know several times lately, but you can't just take a blanket statement and say, well, this is just the way it is, and that's all that there is. You better be careful about some of those things. You'll wind up rooting out some of the bride of Jesus Christ. Oh, the Holy Spirit can't move over this church, or he can't move over that church. You better be careful. He can move wherever he wants to, and he might move right out of yours and come right over to somebody else's, somebody down on the corner that doesn't have hardly nothing but 10 cents in their pocket. He might move over there.
Man.
He'll move wherever he wants to, however he wants to, throughever he wants to, whenever he wants to. Amen. We don't dictate to God and put him in a box and say, God, you can only do this and you can only do that. God's going to do what he's going to do.
Amen.
He's the one that's in charge. He's the one that's in control. He's sovereign. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are better than our ways. Oh my, well, bless God, I just see it this way, and that's just the way it is. Well, if that's the way it is, and everything is just a black and white across the board, and there's no room for restoration, or no room for redemption, or no room for, you know, God allowing you to make mistakes and things like that, why would Brother Branham tell some people on some of the questions, I can't answer that, I'll have to have a private interview with you? If it was the same for everybody, why didn't he just tell them right then?
All right.
Because what might be right for one person might not be right for somebody else.
Man.
That's why I encourage people, seek God's will for your life. I appreciate it when you have enough confidence in me to come to me with questions and things like that. And I'll answer you to the best of my ability by what I've seen in the Word and what I've experienced in my own life and what I've seen through the Bible and the Message and the years of study. But ultimately, it comes right down to you that you've got to find the will of God. No matter what I advise or anybody else advises, you've got to find the will of God for your life and your family, how to teach your children, how to raise them, what to let them do, what not to let them do, where to send them to school, what you're going to do, how your family lifestyle is going to be and things like that. I just keep pointing you to the Word. Just stay with the Word. Stay with the Word. But something that might be right for one family might be totally wrong for somebody else. Something that might be a temptation for me might not bother Brother Hoover at all.
Right.
We can't just make a blanket statement across the board and just say this is this and that is that. No, you better be careful. I know there's sin is sin and right is right, but there's also a lot of things that, you know, I'm going to get in a mess tonight, Brother Jimmy. Take sports, for instance. I know we've got a lot of sports fans in here tonight. I won't ask you to stand up and say who your favorite team is and what your favorite jersey number is and all that, but we've got a lot of sports fans in here tonight. I know there's some preachers and brothers and things that just absolutely anything with sports, you just shouldn't. You should stay away from it. Don't watch it. Don't listen to it. Don't go to it. Don't do nothing. And I recognize in this day and age, a lot of the environments that you go, if you're actually going to go to a game, it's just a bunch of yelling and cussing and drinking and swearing and things like that. So you should be careful about the environment you allow yourself into. But what might be right for one brother, it might be wrong for another brother. One brother might be able to go and watch a couple games a year and say, oh my, they did a good job and I had a nice time and got to spend some time with my kids and things. And another guy, he might be sitting there chewing his fingernails every game, every team, every sport. Oh goodness, who's going to win this one? Who's going to win that one? He gets so obsessed that it becomes his God. What was okay for this brother becomes a sin to that brother.
Right.
Allowing the Holy Ghost to lead and to guide. I can't find you a quote that says, you know, it's okay for you to go to the ball game or it's a sin for you to go to the ball game. Some of these things, you got to figure out what's right for your own family. I know there's a lot of pastors that would love to get up and tell you whether you can or you can't, and I would if I had a quarter of scripture for it. But there's some things he says where it makes it look pretty rough, and then there's other things where he says where it makes it look okay. I know he didn't believe in, you know, going on Sundays and things like that and staying home from church.
Amen.
But that's all I can say because that's all he said. Amen. I'm not trying to, you know, make our own little branch of Church of the Open Door doctrine. And if you come to Church of the Open Door, this is how you've got to do it. And this is the form that you've got to do it in. If you could please just fill this out and sign on the dotted line that you won't do this and you will do that. And, you know, we're concerned about lost souls. If you're not careful, legalism will push away all the lost souls in the country and you'll just get a lot of more legalistic people.
Amen.
Because they love rules and, you know, legalism and things like that and do's and don'ts. But the only do's and don'ts that I can tell you is what the Word of God and the Message said. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you tonight. Are you thankful for sheep food?
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. If the musicians would come, I'm thankful for sheep food. The Word of God, whatever form it comes in, I want to be able to be receptive to it. The voice of God, whatever form it comes in. You know, sometimes, whether we want to admit it or not, the voice of God comes through our spouse.
Amen.
Even for some of you brothers.
Amen.
That doesn't make her the head of the house. That doesn't give her the right to wear the pants in the family. But sometimes God can speak right through that little spouse of yours. You say, oh, I don't believe that, Brother Nathan, the man. You know, he's the head of the house, and she's to be this, and she's to be that. There was many times Brother Branham said he was going to go do something, and Sister Mita said, now, Bill, you think that's right? You mean God would speak to Brother Branham through his wife? Well, sure, if he didn't, it wouldn't be very fair to us if he let our wives speak to us like that. God gave you a wife many times to balance you out because your personality was so this way. Brother Hoover, I'm preaching on myself, you know, this morning. I was teasing with him this morning, and he came right back around and cut me a little bit. You know, I thought, oh, man, right in the back, and twisted it. I was talking to my wife. I was saying about something somebody said that their child thought they were great. And I said, well, I used to think I was great until my wife told me different, you know. Sometimes God gives us somebody to balance that personality out.
Amen.
Sometimes when we're quick because of our personality to do something, and maybe their personality a different way. Now, honey, have you prayed about that? And you think, oh, why did she have to say that, Brother Hoover?
Right.
I know, I've already got it made up in my mind what I want to do. God gives us these things. That doesn't just go for the husbands now, but you wives too. The husband's your head. If he's a husband that's spiritual and staying with the Word, you better keep an ear open. Sometimes you think that's just that husband of yours that's putting his foot down. Maybe it's God's voice to you speaking.
Right.
If it's not contrary to the Word of God, you better have an ear to hear what the Spirit's saying, whatever form it's coming in. Some of you children that, you know, you get to teenage years and things like that and you think you've got it figured out more than your parents, you better be careful. That parent has been a lot further down the road than you have and been through a lot of trials. And maybe you turn around and say, well, Daddy, you used to do this and you used to do that. Yeah, and I'm trying to get you to learn from my mistakes instead of repeating them. And that's maybe God's voice to you, speaking to that parent to teach you and encourage you. And many times we sit there, well, I don't want to. Well, I feel for some of you parents because that's how I feel a lot of times when I'm preaching. You sit there, I don't want to do that. I wish Brother Branham hadn't said that, and I wish Brother Nathan hadn't found it.
Amen.
Amen. God's good, isn't he? Amen. Let's sing something before we go too far tonight. There'll be another service sometime. Amen. Let's sing this together. I believe this is number 30 in your hymn book. I've been trying to sing this ever since I got back from Missouri, and it just seems like it never has worked out. But we're going to sing it tonight with the help of the Lord. I'm pressing on upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Oh, still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Oh, Lord, lift me up and let me stay. My faith on Him.
sing it tonight. Oh Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane, oh, than I have found. Lord, plant my feet. You see, that's not how they sang it at the church I came out of. Well, I'm sorry for you. Lord, lift me up. Oh, and let me stand by faith on heaven's table, let me a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Oh, my heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Oh Lord, lift me up and let me stay by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Oh, I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright. But still I'll pray till heaven I fell. Oh Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Oh Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table, a higher plane, oh, than I have found. Lord, lift me up,
Lord, let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, or a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up.
I've read the back of the book and we win. Oh, no more living in darkness, no more living in sin. Oh, there's no need to worry, oh, if you're born again. Oh, I've read the back of the book and we win. I've read the back of the book and we win. Oh, no more living in darkness, no more living in sin. Oh, there's no need to worry, oh, if you're born again. Oh, I've read the back of the book and we win. Oh, I've read the back of the book and we win. Oh, no more living in darkness, no more living in sin. Oh, there's no need to worry if you're born again. Oh, I've read the back of the book and we win. Oh, I've read the back of the book and we win. No more living in darkness, no more living in sin. Oh, there's no need to worry if you're born again. Oh, I've read Oh, burn, burn, Holy Spirit, burn in me. Lord, set my soul on
Lord, set my soul on fire. Oh, won't you fill me with the Holy Ghost and God's desire. Spread your wings, little Eve, and fly. Oh, you weren't born for this valley. You were born for the sky. Don't let your trials get you down, or drive your spirit to the ground. Oh, mount up with wings, little eagles, and fly. Oh, just spread your wings, little eagles. Drive your spirit to the ground. Oh, mount up with wings, little eagle, and fly.
You know, by Wednesday afternoon, we're going to all be singing that. You know, just as we look forward to come back to the house of the Lord, we can just set our wings and just keep flying. Amen.
Amen.
You just keep the cross before you and the world behind you, and it'll all be okay. Let's sing that as we go tonight. Look, God bless you.
Just spread your wings, little eagle, and fly. Oh, you were born for this valley. You were born for the sky. Oh, don't let your trials get you down, or drive your spirit to the ground. Just mount up with wings, little eagle, and fly. Oh, just spread your wings, little eagle. Just mount up with me, little eagle, and fly. Oh, just spread your wings.
get you down or drive your spirit to the ground. Mount up with wings, little eagle, and fly. Oh, just spread your wings, little cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Oh, come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Oh, bread. Till the
there's no room left in me. All those wasted hours and minutes, they're yours now, Lord, from the start to the finish. I need more of you. I need more of you. I've got to have more of you in me. I need more of you. Oh, that's the way it's got to be. I need more of you till there's no room left in me. All those wasted hours and minutes, they're yours now, Lord, from the start to the finish. I need more of you. I've got to have more of you. I need more of you in me. Give me your love and the world can have the rest. I can never get enough of your grace, your peace, your warmth and your love. I need in me. Oh, I need more of you. Fill me with nothing less. Oh, I need more of you. Give me your love and the world can have the rest. Your warmth and your love. I need more of you. Oh, I need more of you. Oh, I need more of you in me. Oh, I need more of you. That's the way it's got to be. Oh, I need more of you till there's no room left in me. All those wasted hours and minutes, they're yours.